Welcome to Real Life Mentoring, where we explore real life issues to help you make an authentic difference in the world.
Hi, it's Chris and Christina. Today we're going to start with part two of our learning styles discussion with Amy Whitson. So Amy, welcome back to part two.
Thank you. So good to be here.
We talked in session one about learning styles and why they're important. I just want to remind the listener that you have been an educator with 20 plus years of experience. So learning styles were at the top of your list. You're now in the corporate world. And I love that you said that learning styles are important for relationships. So just by way of review, would you go into the four basic learning styles? Mm-hmm. And then I thought what we would do today, our discussion was so good last time that we would talk about what happens when you miss those. So mm-hmm. if you would just go into reminding us what those learning styles are, and we'll go from there.
Sure. So the four basic learning styles, there's an acronym VARK, V-A-R-K, and V stands for visual, A stands for auditory, R stands for read-write, and K stands for kinesthetic. So just a very basic and quick overview would be that the visual learners, they like to see, they like to observe. They prefer pictures, diagrams, written directions. They might be drawing or doodling. They might need notes or projecting information on a screen. They might need a colorful environment to learn. Auditory, they like to listen to a lecture or a recording or an audiobook. They're often the talkers in the group because they like to talk out what they're learning and hear what other people are learning and share. They like to repeat. They like you to repeat. They want to hear it over and over, the information that they're learning. And then read, write, those are the typical learners that when we were learning, that's how the older teachers used to cater to before we learned to differentiate and cater to different learners. They're the ones who like to read and then write about what they are learning. They like to do research. They like reading books. They like writing. They like essays. It's just the most traditional type of learning style. So they're content with writing projects, essays. They're not as vocal. They learn best through writing their answers. And then you've got the kinesthetic learners who are the wiggly worms, squirmy, bouncy. They talk with their hands. They use body movements. It's often good to teach them in a way that they are able to use their body through learning, like through a game or through body movements. This learner retains most information when their hands or bodies are moving, when they can act out a scene, when they can walk in place and talk out loud. And they're often the read out loud learners. They just have a hard time reading in their head. And so then you've got, those are the four basic learning styles. And then as you are going into your adult life, as you've already kind of learned all the things and your brain is set and your brain isn't as malleable as a young child, then you've got different learning styles. Obviously, those four still stay the same, but you've got linguistic learners who prefer verbal communication. They like to see their speaker when they're learning something new. They like to see their speaker. They like to see their speaker's body language. They like to hear their voice. Usually good trainers can break down pieces of information and explain it to them. So they're really good with words and verbal communication. And then you've got logical learners who they're the analyzers. They like to break apart pieces of information and put them back together in the way that they learn. They look for patterns in learning. So if they've learned a certain way all their life, there's a type of pattern. And then they take their new information and put it into those patterns to help them learn. And then you've got intrapersonal and interpersonal learners. So intrapersonal is learning from relationships between themselves, their instructors, their peers, their coworkers. They're motivated by group discussions, brainstorming, sharing their own experiences, talking things out, real life scenarios. They work well in a team-based environment. They like to express themselves and hear others' thoughts. And then finally, the interpersonal learner kind of likes to be alone, and they're more introverted. They like to analyze their own thoughts and feelings. They like to seek their own understanding as they're learning something new. So these people don't really enjoy learning in a team-based environment. They really like individual learning. So those are the base. That's a basic overview of learning styles that we discussed in our last session.
Well, Christina, you and I have different learning styles we've discovered.
Right.
And as we've said in the past, it has been a frustration, misunderstanding, and yet we continue to learn even after 30 plus years of marriage. But Amy, I was going to tell you, mm-hmm. we lived in Austria for many years. We had to learn German. Mm-hmm. And we had to learn it for visa purposes. So we had to learn it and be tested. We laugh about it. We think back to our early days of learning German. Christina, she could hear it and understand it much quicker than I could. Mm-hmm. But I was the speaker. So we joked about, if we put us together, we make a really good German speaker. She would hear it, could understand, and I could respond and go back and forth. But we needed one another. And I think that speaks into how our learning styles mm-hmm. impact that.
Well, talk about some frustrations, Amy, that if we use the illustration with Chris and I, but if I've thought about different times where I've been frustrated with a mentee. Mm-hmm. In our context with relationships and mentoring, I've been mm-hmm. frustrated. And then I realized, oh, she's auditory. And so she's like, I think last time I have a friend and she constantly sends me things to listen to. Mm-hmm. I don't learn very well that way. I've got to mm-hmm. see it on visual. And so what are some other frustrations that when we are missing the learning styles could come mm-hmm. up?
I think, for instance, if you have a kinesthetic learner that you are partnered with in one way or another, friendship, mentee, mentor, professional, or even, in your personal life, if you have a kinesthetic learner and they're always moving mm-hmm. and you are not a kinesthetic learner, and maybe you're more of an interpersonal learner and you prefer to be by yourself, maybe their movement just annoys you. You think they're not listening to you because they're up and moving and still talking to you, but not looking at you and paying attention. That could really cause some communication errors.
For sure. Yeah.
I understand that. It's like, slow down and just listen and let's talk. Well, that's not their learning style. That's not who they are inside. When you're trying to teach them something or tell them something or tell them a story, that's not how they're listening and learning.
I know you haven't met this person, but I was mentoring a man several years ago, probably in his 30s at the time. And we were sitting in a cafe the first time to meet to begin this mentoring relationship. And we'd met through a church, and the conversation was pretty nice. So we meet for the first time and it was so awkward. I would ask questions and he would barely answer my questions. Mm-hmm. And then I'd ask another one. And after about 30 minutes, finally he said, Chris, can we go down, just walk on the streets? We lived in Vienna, so you would do a lot of walking. Mm-hmm. And as soon as we got on the street, he began to just open up and talk a lot. Mm-hmm. And then he invited me over. He was building a sound studio in his basement. So I went to his home. And as we worked together, he didn't stop talking. Mm-hmm. Would that be more kinesthetic, you think?
Absolutely.
Possibly?
Yeah. And like, he needs to be moving his, when you were building, especially, he's like feeling that vibe. He's feeling it. Right.
So makes sense to me. Yeah. I wish I had known that 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, that's the reason for the podcast today that we can mm-hmm. give, especially those who are mentors. So Amy, how does that work? I'll go back to my example, my girl who's mm-hmm. always sending me things to listen to. Mm-hmm. What's the best approach? Because our learning styles are so different. Mm-hmm. Do I always need to cater to her? Does she need to cater to, like, how do you work through that?
Well, I again, I'm not any kind of expert on this, but I would think that in that situation, when she's sending you all these podcasts or audio or music or whatever it is that she wants you to listen to, it's obviously because she's an auditory learner and that's her jam. That's what she likes. And mm-hmm. so in some type of way, you could say, gosh, do you have any, you know, written research, or do you have any written, like, send me the lyrics of that on paper, or is there a book for that audio that you're, I just really prefer to read, and that's kind of how I learn. And that's my best way of learning. And I would love to learn what you're trying to teach me, but for some reason, just listening doesn't do it for me. You know, I mean, I guess you could just talk in that sort of way. And I would think that she would be like, oh, well, okay. You know, that makes sense.
Well, I love that process of discovery, because at the end of the relationship, it's to be known and to know. I want her. I want to know her. And so if I just chalk that up to, well, she's auditory, I'm not going to listen to that. The end of the relationship is not to be known and to know. So
can you say that again, Christina? I don't know if I understand what you said.
Mm-hmm. The goal of my relationship is I want her to know me. And I want to know her. I want to be known, and I want to know her. If I don't bring up a conversation about, hey, these auditory things you keep sending me, do you have written research or do you have song lyrics? That gives her an opportunity to know me, learn my learning style while I'm sensitive to her learning style.
Okay, mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I just think that just opens that line of communication. And if you're able to learn whatever it is that she's trying to teach you in your way, then you're more apt to have a discussion over it. And mm-hmm. that's ultimately what she's wanting, is for you to look at what she, or listen to what she wants to send you, and then have a discussion. Hey, did you like that? What did you think about it? Yeah. And so if you're able to take it in the context of the way you learn best or the way that you would enjoy it the most, then you could have more of a discussion about it rather than just setting it aside and being like, I don't want to listen to that. Yeah. You know? Right. So
it makes Amy, I don't know if you said it in part one or earlier in this episode, but it really honors someone, I can see. Mm-hmm. If I choose to learn their learning style and mm-hmm. adapt, if I can. Well, I can, and it may take some time, but it shows it's honoring to them and it shows value to that person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It makes you feel more valued when you know that someone has taken the time to understand you better and then communicate in the way that works best for the both of you. I mean, there might be times, Christina, that you can sit down and listen to something with her. And then there might be times that you could read something to her because you like reading and she likes listening. So you could read it aloud to her, but it absolutely shows that you value that relationship when you just know anything more about them. And it can be a simple thing for a mentor and a mentee or any kind of relationship that we've discussed. You know, there are free assessments online. There's the VARC assessment, and I think there's 30 questions, but it literally probably takes you about 5 minutes and you get your results right away.
Oh, great. I'll link that below. Yeah. Awesome.
Yeah. It doesn't have the information for the 4 adult learning styles that I've talked about, but it just has the basic, the visual, auditory, read, write, and kinesthetic. But you get what you kind of are anyway. And so you can take that together just as fun, or it's just simple as, hey, how do you learn best? Do you like listening to things? Do you prefer reading? Do you like to learn in a group? You know, and if you know enough about learning styles, then you kind of can gather what type of learning style that person is.
Mm-hmm. Amy, with our mentor training, mm-hmm. we discovered how important it is that we help people make it practical for people, mm-hmm. personal, then it becomes meaningful, and then it becomes effective, mm-hmm. right? Absolutely. So on a practical note, I love this. Mm-hmm. Go to the free assessment. and take that. So let's say I'm mentoring a guy next week. We're going to meet. I'd say, hey, Joe, would you take this assessment? I'll take it as well. Let's come back over a cup of coffee and share our answers, our assessments.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's practical, but then it, man, just the discussion that can go into from there.
Yeah, because like I said, like when you're not really stuck into one learning style, they overlap depending on the environment. You can be one learning style and then something totally different depending on the environment or the subject matter that you're learning about. So I just think it would be a fun discussion, because doesn't almost everyone love learning about themselves? Like, I love personality quizzes.
Yeah.
You know, I just think they're so fun, because I think, wow, that truly is why I do what I do, or that's the reason that I tick, right? I'm a relational person, so I am absolutely 100% intrapersonal, but I also learn auditorially. I can't sit down and read an instruction manual and put something together. It just doesn't work for me. So I would prefer having somebody tell me how to put it together, or watching them. So it just depends on the environment in which you're learning. But I do think that it's crucial to understand the people that you're in relationship with. Learning styles are just one small part of it.
You said, so you love personnel assessments. I do too. And I reflected back very quickly when you said that. I believe I was sixth or seventh grade, and I didn't have a real definition of personality. I really thought this. I remember seeing certain people and thinking, okay, they've got personality. And I didn't think I did. I thought I had no personality. Now, I mean, that was ignorance on my part, but also I don't remember a teacher understanding my learning styles. I didn't know that I had a learning style. Yeah. And then it bled over into thinking, therefore, I must not have a personality. Mm-hmm. That sounds maybe ridiculous, but I want to honor people as we mentor people and they start opening up and talking about this.
Sure.
They may feel less, you know, or thinking, you said the reading and writing tends to be the stereotypical way in the past.
Yeah,
I believe I probably have thought this in the past when I was younger, that those people were smarter than I was, because that's how you do it in school.
Right. Yeah. So many times I reflected back upon my own learning as a child, and you remember, you always remember your good teachers, but you also remember some that weren't as good.
Exactly.
And that impacted you in a way that you remember. And so I just think over time, the more that we learn about our brains and the more that we learn about ourselves and the more research there is, of course, we're getting better as far as teaching children, of course, to differentiate and to be able to teach toward their learning style. It's a lot more work. rather than, I mean, because a lot of the teachers that I remember when I was very young, they just taught one way. This was the way that you needed to learn. And if you didn't learn that way, sometimes you did not feel very smart.
Well, you know? And to honor the public school teachers and maybe private teachers as well, private schools, there's so much, the time is limited. You only have so much energy.
Yes.
I can see that would stress a teacher out trying to adapt to each learning style in a classroom.
Yeah, you definitely have to take your lessons and kind of chunk them into different parts so that it reaches each of the kiddos. And it is a lot of lesson planning. It is a lot of work. And I mean, I did it for 20 years and I love teachers and I will always be a teacher. I love teaching and I miss it in so many ways. Because it's a lot of work, but it's a lot of reward too.
I think that's a great place to kind of wrap this up. Just like with teachers, relationships. Relationships are a lot of work, but they're worth it. And that's
absolutely.
I love the practical thing of whether you're starting a new relationship with a mentor or mentee, or you've been going for a long time. I love this practical thing of, hey, let's find out our learning styles so we don't miss each other. I just think
Yes.
it shows so much kindness to
Yes.
even be asked. Nobody's asked me that before. You know,
Right.
hey, how
Right.
do you learn best so I can really target that area? Yeah,
Right.
I love that. Chris, do you have anything? Oh, go ahead, Amy.
I was just going to say, I just think that a lot of times adults just think you can learn however you're being taught because you're an adult.
Yeah.
And that's just not the case. All of our brains are different. And so if we can cater to the people that we love and that we have relationship with in that way, I just think it just really opens communication up in such a way that is so much better than missing it and miscommunicating and then getting your feelings hurt.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. Yeah.
We have three adult daughters now. I wish I had known some of this, Amy, when I was raising my daughters, because I know there are times that I verbally, okay, I'm verbal, that I would give them instruction or direction, just only verbally, and then expect them to take care of it.
Yes.
And they may be standing there going like, I don't understand, or wait a minute, can you back up?
Right.
And so, yeah, there's no shame and guilt in it, but man, it's such an important thing to think about. As you said earlier, understanding other people's learning styles can really enhance every relationship we have that's important to us.
Absolutely.
And as mentors, as if you go to our website, you hear, go to our workshops, you will see that we teach mentoring holistically. So we are spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, relational, and professional or educational, depending where you are in life. I can see so clearly now how understanding someone's love language, not love language, excuse me, learning style, could speak into each of these in such impactful ways.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you.
Yeah. I want to close by, I love this thought of, we have three daughters. Chris mentioned that our middle daughter was really struggling, probably third grade. She went to a school that required them to memorize. It happened to be a Christian school, to memorize a verse every week. And she could not get it. She, our firstborn is very, she's
read
like
and write.
Reading, writing. Yeah. You know, she was born to be a traditional student. And bless her heart, she was all over the place. And so I thought, okay, how does she learn best? So I just trust it was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't a great mom moment. I was desperate. And I knew she was very visual, but very kinetic. And so we would break down her memory verse and she would draw a picture. And every portion of it had a picture that meant something to her. And she would knock those things out. Now, I could show that same picture to our oldest and she would be like, this is gobbledygook. I have no idea what this is. You know, she would just repeat it three times and it was in her head. But our sweet little daughter, she drew these fantastical pictures and then the picture was in her head and she got it. You know, but I think maybe when we have relationship issues, one of us is speaking like the first daughter and the other one is speaking like the second daughter. And we just got to understand where we're coming from.
Exactly. Amy, when I was learning German music, I think you said earlier, music is important to you. I mean, music is for me as well. It speaks to my soul. I thought, well, I have to learn German, the German language. I can read, I can understand, I can learn vocab. And it was okay. But I thought, you know what? I'm going to listen to German music. And it clicked for me. And then I chose to translate. There's a musical called Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Oh, What a Beautiful Morning. I translated that into German and would sing it. And that helped me learn German. So I'm looking at that. That would be auditory, right?
Yes. Yes.
And it sounds ridiculous for some people to learn a language that way. But I'm going around the house singing, Oh, What a Beautiful Morning in German. Driving my family crazy.
Well, I mean, and that's why when we teach young kids, we teach with a lot of music and a lot of movement, because most of them are auditory and kinesthetic. And so they love to learn with singing and moving. I don't think that changes for adults, you know? So I agree. My two daughters are, they're polar opposite learners.
Yeah.
and so teaching one Yeah. And when you said that you had given your daughters instructions and you clearly verbally said it to them, you'd think, why are you not listening to me? Why are you like, you can do one thing, but I've given you a three-step instruction. And why aren't you finishing up with the other two? Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, it's crazy how this really does apply to everyone. And it applies to not just kids, but adults too.
Yeah.
It gives me compassion for people like my daughters, you know, that had I known that I wouldn't have done that.
Yeah. Well, we only know what we know.
We do. And so it wasn't rebellion and it wasn't stubbornness. Mm-hmm. It was a learning style.
Yep.
Well, I think the implications, you know, how mentors are equipped with information, the mentee is having relational problems or problems on the job. Maybe it could be a learning style. Hey, they keep giving you emails and you're not a visual person. What about, I just think this is great.
Right. Why don't you just tell me what to do and then I will do it. But if you send me an email, I'm not going to process it as well as if you just tell me.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. Boy, Amy, thank you so much. I think we could go on and on and on, but this is so helpful. Chris, anything else as we
go? I've got some homework to do. I do, in a good way.
Well, I love, Chris, repeat what you said about we make mentoring practical.
How did I say that? We make mentoring practical, personal, meaningful, and effective. Right. And I believe that order is important.
Yeah, I do too. And I think today plays into that practical so that the others follow up. So Amy, again, thank you so much. If you've liked what you've listened, share it with a friend, like and subscribe. For all things mentoring, if you want to learn how to have a workshop, just go to FahrenheitMentoring.org. Amy, thanks again. We appreciate you.
Thank you so much for having me. I enjoyed it.